All right, once again, you're here. Drinks with Friends with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ry. What's cracking, everybody?
We're so glad to be here once again. Another week, another show. But of course, this is all brought to you with our help from our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treats, Secret Greetings, Love, Not Cocaine. That's really all I got for them this week. No disrespect. Yeah. Much love to y'all.
But all good things.
It has been...
I feel exhausted. Can I say that? I feel exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, you've been mad busy.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, like, even just all the other shit that's been going on, like, February has been a draining month.
It was long. Like, so many people complained about January, but I talked about that last week, how January was a big thing to me. February, on the other hand, with fucking Arctic vortexes and getting hit by a drunk driver and... holidays as far as Valentine's Day and dealing with my girl's birthday and all this, that, and the other. Like, February was long AF.
Yeah, I feel like it was rough pumpkins for everybody.
Yeah. And so I'm ready, like, and I love winter, but I'm ready for, like, can I get a 35 degree day? I've lost weight and I feel cold for the first time in my life and I'm over it. Like, I'm over it.
Facts. Like, facts.
I know I say, like, cold is pointless without snow, but I'm sick of fucking potholes and almost slipping, busting my ass, getting in my car.
Bro, I heard another polar vortex is headed our way.
I think we're in it right now. Like, it's supposed to get down to, like, negative, like, 20-something feeling, like, tonight.
Oh, so, wonderful.
So, yeah, I'll be home warm and mad as hell when I gotta get up and take my son to school in the morning.
Yo. Yeah, that first time through, I thought like... how bad could it be, really?
Yeah, but then it hurts to blink because your eyes start to freeze. You're like, oh.
Yup.
I'm good.
Yup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on?
So, this past week, liar number one did his congressional hearing. Did you watch any of that?
No, but I did get an alert, like, the minute, the minute he gave his opening statement.
Yeah.
Like... my shit blew up, and I was like, I can't listen right now, but let me read that motherfucker real quick.
Yeah.
Holy buckets,
bro. I was at work, because they did that shit middle of the day on, like, a Tuesday or some shit like that. So I was at work not doing my job, like, watching the live stream of it. And at first, because I was like, this is going to be whack, but I kind of want to hear what old boy has to say.
Right. Get my popcorn out. It's about to be whack.
Yeah. And bro, there were fireworks. Like, that's one thing I will say about 45's presidency. This shit has been mad entertaining. In a scary kind of way.
Yeah.
It's like it was like entertaining. Trump's presidency is entertaining in the way the movie Get Out was entertaining.
Right. Right. Like, I loved it because it was so... good, well done, and entertaining. But at the same time, I was like, but you guys, this is life.
It's the blackest I ever felt in a movie, because I'm normally not that nigga that's like, get out, don't go in there. But like, that's how I felt during that movie. And that's how I feel in this presidency. Like, where they're all talking about these immigrants and shit. I'm like, pick a different country. Go to Canada. Like, don't save yourself. Get out.
Right. This is not the one.
Yeah. Let's not do that. To watch this Cohen statement, and then, like you said, this, the opening statements where he basically came out here and was like, yeah, I'm about to tell.
I'm about to
spill all this tea.
King snitch. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, he came out and he was like, first off, let me say, I appreciate the fact that, like, I mean, I don't know exactly. It's always hard to tell just how honest someone is being.
Mm-hmm.
But the notion of, like, apologizing to his family, for his family, you know, that kind of stuff. That like, and the notion of, like, you get caught up in a thing, and when it was just business, it was fine, and then it turned into something so much more
sinister.
Yeah. Or that the implications and the ramifications of these things were going to be so much bigger and heavier than anyone had even, like, planned for.
Right.
Because no one was planning on this man ever getting elected for anything
even
ever.
Even he wasn't, according to the thing. Like, he didn't think he was going to win, and all of a sudden it happened.
He saw it as an infomercial, is the word that Cohen used.
Yeah. Basically another push to his brand. Yeah, to the brand that is 45.
Yeah.
And so he was spilling all this tea, right? And what killed me about it when I say kill, I mean like I was falling out of my chair laughing. Was how when it was done and everybody gets to do like their basically cross examination, like everybody gets to ask their questions and everything.
Facts.
All the GOP wanted to do was paint him as a liar, and the whole thing was like, yeah, I lied. That's what I got in trouble for. I'm here to no longer lie because I'm already going to prison. There ain't shit else y'all can do to me.
Right. Like, so you lied. Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Right. So I can like set the record. Cause you already caught me lying, right. So I might as well tell the truth now.
So you're saying that you lied?
Yeah. Like, yeah, and I'm going to prison for it, so why keep lying? And people are like, but you're a liar. Yeah, we know. But now I'm out here to tell the truth.
Right.
Like, yeah, I broke the vase. Like,
right, you know what
I'm
saying? Right.
Like, I'm the one that threw the baseball through the window as a kid. Like, and here I am telling the truth about it now that I haven't gotten in trouble. Like, you already caught me. What's the point of lying anymore? And so for hours, because this shit was as long as Aretha Franklin's funeral, like hours.
Facts.
Like, it was, I'm legit, out of my 8-hour day, I'm pretty sure I spent like 6 hours watching this thing. Or at least listening to it. Like, had it on the background while I'm trying to do some work for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I say all this to say, to get to the part where the GOP brought out the head of HUD.
Yeah.
They really hit us with the, he can't be racist, he has a black cabinet member.
I hate that man so much. Can I just...
Which one?
The
congressman...
Dr. Ben Carson.
Oh, no. It was a lady.
Oh, the lady.
Yeah.
The lady.
He's not the head of HUD anymore.
He's not?
I don't think. No. It's a black woman now.
Okay.
And she was out there and, you know, and you could just tell, see the look on her face. It was the most uncomfortable shit for her ever. And I feel like... Any black person who has ever been, not necessarily the only one in the room, but you may become with the questionable friend, or the one who says some out-of-pocket shit, and then everybody looks at you like, yo, is this your man's? Like,
yeah.
That was the look on this woman's face. And you could just see how incredibly uncomfortable she was. And then, you know, more questions happen, blah, 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 blah. We get to a point where... One of the congresswomen, I'm looking up her name now. That ain't it. Basically called him out. She was like, yo, I'm not saying you're a racist, but this move was incredibly racist. Like, to come out and parade this woman around, like, as a woman of color, I'm highly offended right now. And dude went off. Like, congressman snapped. Like, basically, eyes well up with tears, turned Kool-Aid Man red, like, upset, loud, demanding that her comment be stricken from the record. And then because how dare he or how dare she dare imply that I'm by any means racist. I'm just bringing it up here. Like, there's this woman from Alabama whose parents were raised in the South who said Trump could never be racist because I would know because I'm a black woman from Alabama and my parents are black from Alabama. And we know real racists, and that's not Trump. So.
Okay.
Call him out. And like I said, he flies off the handle, like demanding the stuff gets stricken from the record. Super duper heated, mad. Extra, like I've never. And the guy who's running the things, the chairman is a black man, and he like basically plays into it, like, well, no, she didn't call you a racist. She said that the action was racist.
Yeah.
So after all this, that, and the other, he comes back and says, I'm offended that you would imply that I'm racist when I have nieces and nephews of color.
Oh my god. Oh, how fun.
I was so mad, but laughing so hard. Like, imagine this is the same congressman who, back in 2012, because after this, all this happened, it comes the video surface of him saying in a rally for like one of some of his constituents, like, oh, we're going to send Obama back to Kenya or wherever he's from.
Yep.
No, nigga, you're racist. And you got caught. But I say all that to bring this to the idea of tokenism. Like,
okay. Speak on.
I felt so bad for the woman because, again, like, she's being paraded around in this room as one of the good ones.
Right.
And having personally been in that situation or being, like, talked to or being referred to as one of the good ones, and knowing how angry it made me, I could only feel pain for this woman.
It's... I want to choose my words carefully. I was actually having a similar conversation about... this is actually something on the local tip, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a particular artist here in Des Moines who's uh-huh. who's paraded around by Governor Kim Reynolds.
Yeah.
And also has done some photo ops with, like...
The DMPD.
Yeah, the DMPD, but also, like, Senator Grassley and, like, all these GOP motherfuckers, right?
Right.
And it's that exact same kind of thing of, like, you know, parading around this token.
Oh.
Because he's saying all the things that we want him to say, need him to say, and he's, you know, putting a nice, smiley brown face
right.
to our policies and da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, there are people on the, quote, other side that do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Right? That exploitation of our lifestyle, mm-hmm. our struggles, our suffering,
yeah.
To make their point.
Right.
Leaving us with little to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was my little sidebar.
Oh, no, you're good. So yeah, looking it up, it was Representative Rashida Tlaib who called dude out. Mark Meadows was the guy who flew off the handle. And I'll just send you this link. I posted it. I'll send you the link specifically so you can watch it. But yet again, it comes to brown black women saving the day. Because otherwise, they were just going to let this fly. Like, they were just going to let it go. Like, oh, yeah, he brought this one out. Like, oh, if she's helping niggas with housing, so she got to be one of the good ones. Because, kill yourself.
Well, here's the thing that's... So I have some family members who... I've had to, we'll say, challenge.
Mm.
Because there is something that's really nice when you get that pat on the head and you're told you're one of the good ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're given the pass. You're given certain privileges. Mm-hmm. You get to be full house nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They dress you up. They feed you good. They all that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And then they parade you around with the expectation that you're going to, you know... Yeah,
stay in line.
If the rest of these... If the rest of these hooligans
would
get it together, like, it's not so bad. You're just one of the bad ones. Mm. That's why they treat you that way.
If you didn't act like a thug, we wouldn't call you all thugs.
Right. And when another person of color says that to your face, like, first off, I'm going to show you that thug in love.
Mm.
Choke you, throw down the stairs. Okay. But, no. But the thing is, like, but to actually, like, challenge somebody and be like, yo, they've brainwashed you. They've indoctrinated you into, like, doing the song and dance for them. Like, we have a right to exist as we are, in ourselves, as ourselves.
Oh.
And our complexities.
Mm-hmm.
This notion of being a good one is a myth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
I went to school, small town. Shout out to the asshole Iowa, Creston. If I ever make $1 billion, I'm going to carpet bomb the whole town and make it into a parking lot. I'll give people a chance to evacuate first, but we got 24 hours to figure the shit out. But so there's one night I go out to a bar out there, and after the bar, because it's a small ass town, everybody ends up at the local gas station to get their after bar munchies or try and get their cases before, you know, shit locks up. And there's this drunk dude who I'd seen at the bar, and he comes up to me, he's like, hey man, and out of nowhere, like, puts his arm around me. I don't know this dude, never talked to this dude before in my life. He goes, hey man, I just want to say you're cool. Most of the black people I met are niggers, but you're cool. With the hard R. Like, says this shit, like, to my face, like, arm around me. And you know me, I'm highly confrontational.
Yep.
Like, it's at least with my mouth. Like, I feel like if I gotta throw hands, I know how.
Yeah.
But my mouth is gonna definitely do that work. Barbs.
Right. Do that work.
And so, me being me, I went a little off.
Yeah.
Now, also, this is after bar time. We know that drunk people frequent this place, and there's a police officer there.
Yeah.
And the cop comes up to us and asks the dude who just basically said all black people's niggers, but you're an acceptable one, asked if I was bothering him.
Right.
And that's when I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, that's when the plan started. Like, I need to get out of this town right now because I'm gonna end up dead or in jail.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that guy. And, like, and then it goes back farther than that. Like, when I trained, you remember when I transferred schools in elementary school, and all of a sudden I went to a suburban school.
Yep.
I was one of six black people in school at 1200, and
right.
I caught hell for that. Like, there are some people who automatically wanted to be my friend because they thought I was going to get them more cool points.
Right.
And then there was, on the other side of the spectrum, the people that hated me because I was different. And
right.
to have to navigate that.
Yep.
And so to be able to have to do that and have to imagine that on a national scale, and really an international scale, because everybody's watching this shit because it's about this douche that we got in office right now.
Right.
I'm supposed to tell the truth.
Yeah,
about
we're talking about a head of state.
Yeah, so now...
Of the last remaining superpower.
Right. So now this woman is... the token for the planet.
Right. Expected to go up and be like, he's not so bad. He's not a racist, you guys, because he gave me
good
a shot.
Job.
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that some wild shit?
Yeah, and then for this representative, Mark Meadows, to be out here and talking about, like, how dare you say this about me? Like, clearly I've got a black friend and I've got brown nieces and nephews. Like, either my brother or sister likes... dark dick or pussy, so we
so I'm, clearly I'm, so I got passed too.
Racist,
right.
Like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you serious? And you would have to offend it and like cry because somebody dared say that what you did was racist? And really, she was careful in that sense of like, I'm a politician, so I got to be careful in what I say. She didn't call him a racist. She did say it was a racist act.
Yeah.
And if you can't be called out for something like that, how are you going to do better? Like, it just comes down to the fact that don't take offense to everything. Learn from it.
Right. Right. And also, like, you know, I'll say this. Let me just get a second to, like, really craft this. We're all victims of this system.
Yeah.
Even the ones that benefit are also victimized
because
by
have
this
choice,
system,
but live within.
But to participate.
Yeah.
By participating, which you don't really have a choice, you are complicit, but also victimized,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, in my opinion, you have to be able to have those conversations because doing something racist... doing something that's out of pocket, you know,
mm-hmm.
while it's a mistake and should be corrected, it doesn't necessarily inherently mean that your entirety is now that you are a racist because you said some racist shit, right?
Right.
But that also comes with the humility to understand, to learn to do better and deprogram.
Yeah.
You know what this society has given you, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that thing of saying, "Yo, that's fucked up. Fix it." As opposed to like
perfect example
doubling
of somebody
down on it, you know what I'm saying?
Did it the right way.
Yeah.
Here in Iowa, there was the announcer for the Hawkeyes who made the comment on a basketball player, a black basketball player, that he was like King Kong on the court.
Yeah.
And
oops,
right. And he didn't necessarily mean it. With racist connotations, like that was not his intention.
Right.
He meant that he was a dominant force on the court.
Right,
he was swatting shit down, basically bullying people on the court.
Yeah,
but you don't compare black people to apes.
Yeah, right.
Point blank. Period.
Yeah.
You don't do it.
Just right. Like, of all the comparisons to make, that's not the one.
Nope. You could have said this nigga was like the Jolly Green Giant. You'd have been fine.
Right.
But
right.
Apes didn't play basketball. You know what I'm saying? So. There was this backlash for it. Like, in the media, the University of Iowa was like, nah, bruh, you're suspended for the rest of the season. You're not going to be announcing any more games.
Yeah.
My just dude has been announcing the Iowa games for like 20-some-odd years.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sorry, bro. You got to stop the rest of the season. And then you have all these white knights that are coming in, and they're like, he didn't mean it as racist. That's not offended. Ask any black person, and I bet you they weren't offended. Mind you, this is all coming from people who probably haven't spoken to a single black person in their entire life.
Right.
Feeling some type of way about it. And the announcer, at first, he was bothered. Like, he came with the whole, like, oh, I didn't mean that by it, da-da-da-da-da. But then a week later, he's like, yo, I sat down, and being a sports announcer for 3 decades, he's run across black people. And he's like, and they're like the ones who really know him. The people like the former athletes that he's announced for, coaching staff, so forth and whatnot. He's like, and they called me, and we really had some hard conversations. And, like, no, I didn't mean it like this, but I had to take a step back and look at the history of it, and I learned something. And so I'm going to take, and like, he ended up getting suspended for what was like 5 games. Like, they undid the entire season, which, whatever. In this case, I mean, I really do think it was ignorance.
Yeah.
Like, it was innocent. It was still ignorant, but it was innocent.
It was a poorly chosen phrase.
Exactly. And you had to be taught some sort of lesson.
Right. There has to be some sort of punishment.
But you had the humility, especially after speaking with the people who've experienced it, of figuring out, okay, this is why this is unacceptable. Here's what I will do to make sure that I don't go through it
again. Right.
And
let
thank
me fix it.
The people for having the taking the time to educate him on the issue.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that we need from people.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way that you're really going to be able to fight your privilege. And it's not, and I had this conversation with some douche a while back, how privilege doesn't necessarily mean that you have this inherent leg up. It just means that you're not automatically at a disadvantage.
Right.
And the only way that you can combat that is by actually taking the time and speaking to the people who are living like this to not put them in these uncomfortable situations where they're made to feel as less than just by being a human being.
Right.
So, stop showing off black people, brown people, whatever. Making them feel uncomfortable just for living.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
That notion of that parade is exactly what's so problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. So you mentioned from your own experience, and I've had this too, because if black doesn't equate scary, it equates cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes because it's scary.
Right.
Right? You know.
Yeah.
some deep water there. That being said, how do you push back against, you know, when racism works to your advantage, right? Because, I mean, like, how much pussy you got because you dark? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many people want to make sure that you're a part of the thing because you bring an automatic cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though we definitely don't like cool things.
Right. I'm a trendsetter, thank you. I don't need your idea of cool.
Right.
I'll tell you.
Right.
Cool.
Exactly. 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 Because it's easy to call out the shit when someone calls you King Kong.
Yeah.
Or when someone, you know, like wants to call you one of the good ones versus all the rest of the niggers out there, right? Uh-huh. But what about when that gives you the pass, when you're a Ben Carson or that sheriff motherfucker with the goatee?
I really think that all you can really do in that situation is kind of tear down the establishment from the inside.
Yeah,
like basically covert agent type shit. Like, oh, okay, you let me in the door, now I'm gonna tell you everything that's wrong with this, because really, what are you gonna do about it now that I'm in here? Because anything you do about it, especially when all I'm doing is telling the truth, is gonna prove that you're a racist.
Yeah.
So what you gonna do? What you gonna do, bro?
Well, real quick, before we take our break, we went to bring it back. When we saw Get Out, I was with some white friends. I'm not saying I'm their only black friend, but I know they don't have a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
And
part of that is location.
Yeah, part of it is definitely, you know, whatever. We're walking out of the movie, and one of the guys leans over to me. He's like, man, that was crazy. I told you, bitches out here wild, right? And I was like,
people.
That's literally my response. I was like, bro. And that was a movie.
Yeah.
I've had those conversations in my life.
When he was president, do you know how many unprompted conversations I had about white people voting for Obama? even now, like with Trump, like, hey, yo, I voted for him twice. Nigga, who cares? What? Okay. Congrats. Like, does that make you feel better about yourself?
Right.
Real quick before we take our break, one of my favorite moments in blackness that I shared with you was when we saw Django together and we applauded every time that they killed a white person. And you remember the people behind us that like were like, all right, guys, that's enough. And then we turned around and they didn't say shit else the rest
of the time. Or the people that were in front of us that turned and looked and they saw our beautiful brown faces and they just turned right around.
Like, well, guess I don't get to enjoy this one.
Enjoy the... Here's the silver lining is that by the end of the movie, everyone was applauding.
That's right.
They understood the nature of the game. Mm-hmm. And once they got into it, they also had some fun.
Right.
Because Quentin Tarantino movies are fucking ridiculous. Everybody knows that.
Absolutely.
Like, and there is a catharsis in the retribution against evil. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the evil happens to look a particular way.
Right.
So I'm glad that all of our white brothers and sisters could also get in on the fun and be like, yeah, kill those bad guys.
That's right. Get them. You didn't deserve this.
Blow them up. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the topic of tokenism. Another big thing that's been going down.
I can't believe we're about to talk about this,
man.
But I get it.
But no, it fits. But also, I think we're gonna not to add anything particularly like new or groundbreaking. But I think we have some interesting perspective on this topic.
I agree.
So first off, just so there's no like confusion, fuck the Kardashians.
Yes,
all of them.
Yep.
Like
whole squad.
Yeah. Like gross.
Yeah.
Gross. You know, it's kind of funny. There's a parallel. Like as ridiculous as the notion of Donald Trump being the President of the United States is, it at times also feels like he's exactly the kind of president that we deserve.
In
that same regard, it also feels like in that same spirit, keeping that same energy, the Kardashians feel like appropriately like America's family.
America's royal, yeah, they're the equivalent to America's royal family.
You know what I'm saying? Like
dumpster fire that we
exactly,
are
exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The notion that like they became famous because like one of them happened to like lazily suck some dick like on a video. Mm-hmm. Like how American is that? You know what I mean? Right. And then to exploit your own children, like how American is that? And then to exploit like brown and black creativity for your own financial and social gain. How American is that? Like,
the entire family has made their fame either off of the backs of or on their backs for black men.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, from OJ to even
Travis Scott.
Yeah, Travis Scott, Kanye.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Donda. She would never let this shit happen.
Right? Right? Man. I can't believe... yeah. Gross. Anyway, that being said, let's talk about this house nigga.
Because that's what she is, literally. I made this comment during our break when you posed this topic to me. You're talking about a girl who literally lived in Kylie Jenner's guest house.
Mm-hmm. Kept.
Who was...
Kept.
Yeah, who was given opportunity and jobs as a model for Khloé's clothing line. Has been around for years since What's-Her-Face. Back before she had plastic surgery for lipo and all this stuff.
Yeah.
She was when
I saw her older pictures, I was like, who is that?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
That was her.
Did not
recognize. Yeah, the memes going around, it's like, you're not ugly, you're just broke. It's like the pictures of her and Kylie before blowing up.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all them bitches, though.
Right.
All of them looking rough.
Yeah.
Until, you know.
Yeah. The older one, the one with all the kids, is all right. I forget her name.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Khloé's OJ's daughter. I don't fucking know what I said. But, yeah, so you have this family with a history of exploiting black people.
Yep.
But can't get enough of them. Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, even Bruce Jenner, after the transition to Caitlyn, is now the black person. The whole family just can't get enough of black dick.
Because we're cool as shit.
Right. And apparently we put in work. Props to us. But yeah, so whole country is up in arms. She somehow got a spot at Jada Pinkett Smith's table.
Sorry. got messy. I watched it. Did you watch the Red Table? It was really good.
Okay.
For what it was.
Yeah.
I like Jada.
Me too. Yeah.
And if you could actually like have a real like Cliff and Claire Huxtable, it's them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're successful, they're progressive, you know, like the moves they make seem to be driven by like love and compassion.
Shout out Jaden for bringing water to Flint.
Hey, my mans, like, you know? Like you got it, go do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that all being said, you know,
did you see the, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see the picture of Chloe, the dumbass in question? I suppose it's really unfair of me to call her a dumbass when really all she did was get cheated on. But I mean, you drove your first NBA player to crack. You think you'd leave the NBA alone? I digress. Did you see the picture of her at a Halloween party some years ago with Megan Good, the twins from ATL, and then Megan Good's little sister where she was dressed as a pimp?
Yep.
And they were hoes all in leashes and collars?
Yep.
Did you see that shit?
I saw that shit. I posted that shit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's where I saw it. My bad. I don't really pay attention to who posts shit. I just see the shit.
You see the shit and you're like, oh, there it is.
Keep going. Like, let me just keep scrolling by my bed.
Yep.
So, you see how much respect she has for black people from jump.
Yeah. Just like the King Kong comment, even if she was not thinking,
right?
Like that juxtaposition is
my bitches
so wrong,
yeah,
so offensive, so hurtful. Like, fuck your intent. Like that shit was wrong,
right? Facts.
Why Megan Good? What were you thinking, Megan?
I feel like this was the time though when Megan Good, like, based on her role she would have played for years, you couldn't convince me that Megan Good wasn't a real life hoe. She was like the jump off in every movie that she was ever in for years until she got crow's feet. Like basically, she was like the hoe in every movie until she started showing some signs of aging. And even though she's black and she is aging beautifully, because Megan Good is super fine. Until then, like, she was basically, that was her role in the movies, to be the...
Yeah, but playing roles in movies and allowing some other human being to chain you up and lead you around, like, I got questions.
Where's your mom?
Facts. How you smell? Anyway. Yeah.
Back to Jordan.
So I saw this interview with Jordan, and she makes a claim, she's making the claim that, like, everything she's saying is completely factual, that she's...
Just
like Michael Cohen is like, I gotta come clean and speak on what's going on and tell my side of the story as I understand it and tell my truth as completely as I can.
Right.
And
try and save the bag that she's not getting.
Right now. And to speak on the hurt and loss of her friends because of this situation, and also having a conversation with Jada Pinkett Smith and being able to like allow her to ask those questions and answer them as
unbiased,
like, as fearlessly as she can. Right. First off, like, she only kissed this dude according to her version of the story.
Right.
Like, I can't believe that this is that we're even having this conversation based off of like a kiss.
I can. Based off of dude's history, along with the fact that if the mother of my children, who I've been with for 10 years, all of a sudden was caught on video kissing some other thing, I would fly off the handle. Like, no, she didn't fuck him, but still, like, the fuck are you doing?
I mean, I guess it depends on, like, what this kiss looks like.
Well, it's like a peck. I'm not going to be mad at that, but if they're, like, making out on some couch somewhere and, like, maybe stops some shit before it goes too far, no, we got a problem. Like, we got a problem. I'm not necessarily going to make it national fucking news.
Right, that sounds like a conversation.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like if I rolled up on Samantha and pulled some shit, even mindlessly, and you need to have some words with me.
Right.
We're going to have some words.
Right.
And we're going to work it out. Mm. You might have to punch it out. I don't know.
You might have to.
But you what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's between us.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of the situations that, like, that needs to stay between them. But, oh, wait, there's a new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians coming up. So, like, I feel like while this may not be intended as initially as a publicity stunt, that it has very much become one.
Well, that's right. That's
for the sake of ratings.
The mom
is the greatest pimp of them all.
right. Like, she breeds controversy to get ratings and sales and all this. That
I other, mean, so. like these motherfuckers done, like, put on a fake wedding and done all, you know what I mean? Like, there is nothing sacred to these people.
Nothing.
So, like, so first off, to even think that you could even be friends with them, like, no.
Wrong. Wrong. I feel like she thought she had some insulation because she knew them before.
Right.
Wrong.
Clearly.
Sorry, Jordan.
Wrong.
You should know better. You're dealing with white people.
I'm saying.
Manifest destiny.
But also the notion of this grown woman bullying this 20-something, you know, like she what, 20, 21?
21, I think, yeah.
Like, just to show you how ugly Khloe Kardashian really is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't
bitch, you're
ugly, but entitled.
No, it's an ugliness. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an ugliness. Like, to go after a kid, essentially.
Is 21 a kid?
Yes. As someone who's in his 30s, looking back at where I was at 21, abso-fucking-lutely.
All right, I'll give you that. Because, yeah, looking back at me at 21, too, like...
You think you're grown. You ain't.
Yeah, I ain't no shit. I mean, I knew shit, but I ain't
no
shit.
You're exactly. There's hubris.
Right.
And there's bravado in that youth. But it's not wisdom.
You feel invincible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, or even but, think but that you, also, you know aren't going to win end well, you know, you think that you have time to fix
right.
it.
Right. But there's, you're naive. There's a... Yeah. That all being said, like, but Khloe is old enough to know better.
Right. Especially when we're talking specifically about someone who did the shoot tour before.
Right?
Like, this ain't nothing new. It's only different because this would happen to be one of your friends. Or your little sister's
friend. Your little sister's friend.
That's one thing I, and I know for a fact that you can attest to this as well. One of the cool things about being an only child is the fact that nobody can fuck your siblings, but you can fuck your friend's siblings. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I did this. Yeah.
We've been there. So, but like, she should have known better. She absolutely should have known better. And the little girl is stupid for even letting herself get into that type of situation.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is, what I did appreciate about what she talked about, and here's the thing that I think is really actually very, very special, and what I think is actually worth talking about, is that the red table actually allows for these conversations to have in somewhat more of a safe space,
yeah.
Right? In the interview, Will calls in because he's like on set or whatever, right?
Bad Boys 3.
But he makes the point to give this disclaimer that she has a safe space with them and that they support her, right? This notion of being able to create safe spaces for ourselves, for our own healing, to have, and you use this phrase a lot about, you know, keeping it in the family, you know, and what happens stays behind closed doors, where it's us to work these things
to
out.
To an extent, yes.
Right. It's exactly that same kind of energy of like, all right, so let's talk about where you messed up. Let's really dig in and talk about, like, the mistakes you're making.
Hopefully so you can avoid repeating
them. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the ownership of that.
Right.
And it's not coming from this space of the Kardashians coming down on this girl.
Right.
But it's about, like, being able to talk to the elders, you know, of you know, whether it's the older sister or auntie or however you want to kind of cast Jada in this conversation, to actually have that real talk about how we find healing and how we learn to do better.
Yeah. One thing I will say, and I haven't watched this episode, but one thing I will say about the Red Table Talk in general, the episode that I've seen, I think it gives a very important look that even though you have Will and Jada, who are basically black royalty in America, they still have the realness of black conversations.
Yes.
And so, like, it gives you a chance to view, like, give you an inside look of, like, legit conversations that I've had with, like, aunts of mine. You know what I mean? Like, the same types of conversations where, they're supportive, but they're not going to sugarcoat shit. They're going to let you know when you do something wrong. They're going to challenge your way of thinking to hopefully help you grow.
Yeah.
So,
facts.
Respect there. Maybe I'll watch it.
You know, it's worth the 28 minutes of your time.
I really only say maybe just because, like, I'm kind of tired of the whole thing.
that's the other piece of it too. Is like, can we just let them just die in, you know, a slow death? No. Like socially, you know what I mean? It's like, who cares? Who cares? They offer nothing to the culture.
It's true.
At all.
That's because they make their own culture.
I've never seen a greater collection of talentless people, like being deemed important for doing literally nothing aside from stealing other people's shit.
And, or hiring people to do things.
Yeah, or taking out, it's about other people's shine. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's why they need Kanye and Travis Scott.
Right.
And whatever NBA player is.
You saw the whole thing with Travis Scott, how they tried to like basically kind of like X this thing out. Like all of a sudden now there's this alleged cheating scandal between Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner. First off, Travis Scott ain't cheating on Kylie Jenner. And I'm going to tell you why. Number one, black men don't cheat. Number two.
Okay.
Number two, as successful as Travis is right now, and Travis is doing huge things, like with Nike and with like actually bringing a theme park back to Houston that was shut down, doing phenomenal things for his city.
Yeah.
Kylie Jenner, at whatever, however old she is now, first off, he locked her down with a baby. And second of all, she's like one of the highest rated people on the Forbes list. He's not potentially giving up that money for some groupie cheeks.
In the spirit of securing the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For what? And, like, she's had that work done, and Kylie's hella attractive. Like, she's one of the more seemingly attainable attractive of the Kardashian sisters. Like, she doesn't have that wisdom tooth shape.
Right.
That some of the older ones do.
Right.
So, you know, props to her. Like, he's not... No, he's not giving up that money. No. Not over groupie cheeks.
No. I'll co-sign to that. So yeah, I guess I really just brought this up just to basically just hop on my same old bandwagon of like, fuck that entire family. Yeah. Please, 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 please go away.
Yeah. Make Kanye great again.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know what would make America great again? Them going the fuck away.
Well, but can we really say that too in relation to 45 that we were talking about the first time? Because she's Kim Kardashian's the first one to actually get anything done with any kind of like prison reform. And it's because she's as big of an ego and star in air quotes as the president is, and he was actually willing to take a step back and listen. And the only reason Kim cares about black people like that is because of her affinity for black penis.
Yeah. That was something really inappropriate.
Good. This is a safe
right,
space.
Right. If we can get more black men out of prison, I can fuck more black men.
Exactly. Well, maybe not her, because, you know, she got Ye now. But her sisters. But then again, Ye's probably a freak. So once you get that certain level, you get bored and you want some new shit going on. Anyway.
Listen.
As far as hip-hop goes, Kanye has always been like a friend, so to speak, of the LGBTQ community. Like, so...
Well, as we know... Thanks to Amber Rose.
He likes a finger in the butt.
Right. Which, according to most black men, would just make him gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, I've always firmly believed that.
I like how she turned on the music, so it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah. Kim and Kanye, to me, has always been a business transaction. Their family, their whatever they're building,
yeah,
is a business transaction. It's about securing the bag.
Mm. They made some pretty babies, though.
Right, and it was just this.
But doesn't it, most mixed babies are really pretty.
Yeah, so. Like, and that's valid. These are all valid things, and it's not to say that you can't have a productive and fulfilling relationship with somebody,
true,
and fuck a bunch of other people at the same time.
Also true. In fact, he has a line. What does it say? That love is cursed by monogamy. It's never fucked nobody without telling me.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair.
Yeah.
I just don't want any surprises.
Right. Exactly. Like, so, I mean, I would
especially
not...
when, and he said, wife of superstar all from a home movie. Like, he knows she got a past, so just don't give me any surprises.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I wouldn't put it past at least him to have a progressive attitude about, you know, thruples or whatever. As long as you keep that public front, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, do whatever the fuck you want to do. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he does a pretty good job of that himself.
True. True. When he opens his mouth. But I ain't gonna lie, the only thing that'll get me back to church is if I can go to one of Kanye's Sunday services.
Yo, I saw that. That was great. So let's wrap this. Yeah. What was that? What was that tweet that you had seen? Was the NBA player?
Oh yeah, Gilbert Arenas.
Yes, these are good closing words.
Yeah, these are good closing words. Gilbert Arenas, formerly of the Washington Wizards, prolific scorer in the NBA, now sports personality, podcaster, announcer, so forth and whatnot. He made the comment of, really, when does Chloe have to take a look at herself? Because it's not like Tristan was out here cheating with LeBron James level pussy. He was out here with Trae Young, who is a very dynamic rookie, a lot of potential, but no playoff experience. Like, only been, I think what he said was that Jordan, who's only been using her pussy for, what, 4 or 5 years tops, maybe, compared to this woman in her 30s, who's probably been using it for like 20. Pussy's trash. You gotta take a step back and look at yourself to see what you're doing wrong. In order to keep driving this man away. And then I've also seen ones where it's like, Tristan's doing everything he can to get away from this family without just being like, yo, I can't do this. Like, he's trying to set himself up for failure. Like, yo, kick me to the curb. Let me be free. And she's just like, no, I'm going to blame everybody else instead of you, who clearly doesn't want to be here anymore. Hell, doing the dirt that you're doing. So, whatever. Fuck him.
And with that, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Shout out our sponsors, Susie's Sweet Treats, Secret Ingredient is Love, Not Cocaine,
and Android DSM. Power up.
And we'll see y'all next week, same black time.
Same black channel.
All right, peace.